Welcome to the Upshot subscriber bonus segment this week. Thanks so much for being a subscriber. I'm Charlie. He's Jamie. And we continue our conversation this week about the future of the tour. Last week, in part one, we talked about the majors. This week, we continue with the rest of the tour and how it should fit in around those tentpole majors. We begin at the start of the year down in Arizona.
Right now, we start with the Memorial. It's been a national tour. It's been a pro tour. But we don't have to specifically talk about tournaments. We can just talk about crafting the tour. But, like, is that enough of a prestigious start, and how much should that matter? So if we have our four majors, we're generally agreed, spring, early summer, late summer, fall. Where does the tour start, and how big of a kickoff does it have to be, or can it be a kind of warm-up tournament?
God, I'm so undecided on the Memorial. I have no allegiance to the Memorial, personally. Like, I get that it's traditional, but you hear enough players complaining about the courses and the event that I don't know that there's, like, if there was a really good viable alternative, that I think people would be down for that, to move away from there. But maybe I'm wrong. You know, if players really like going and they're going to keep going no matter what, then fine. I mean, that is what it is. The courses are what they are. And everybody's excited to get to watch some disc golf, regardless of where it takes place. I do think, you know, the southwestern portion of the country does make a lot of sense at that time of year. I'd love to see the tour sometimes start in Southern California. I mean, I know there's wintertime open out there, but you could have like more of a major event down there potentially, and I think that would be pretty cool. You know, instead of waiting every year to go to California for the, you know, in late May for West Coast Swing.
If only Los Angeles wasn't such a pain to put a tournament in.
I know.
I mean, the World Tour tried to boot up the La Mirada Open again, which was one of the OG National Tour events back in the day. I think it was the Golden State Open then. But essentially, the La Mirada Open was in the vein and in the kind of shoes of how the National Tour originated. So, unfortunately, it's in Los Angeles County. I think it's right inside the county line, too, if I remember, like, dealing with all the permits and BS. You know, just going to be more expensive and hard to do. But ideally, I'm with you there. Like, let's put it right in the backyard. Wintertime is great as is. Let's not incorporate wintertime. That course is just past its prime. It's, you know, it needs to be what it is. I don't know that we're doing that course and that park and its history any real service by, like, trying to modernize it. But other than that, I generally agree. I want, honestly, and we talked about this on the main show a couple months ago, I want the Phoenix Waste Management Open for disc golf.
Right.
That is what the Southwest Opener really should be for the tour. It should be more fun. It should be with your top button unbuttoned. Well, I guess for disc golf, that'd be like your second button unbuttoned. We even have buttons, you know, your V-neck shirt instead of your crew cut. Like, let's go out and have some fun, and let's get a little rowdy. Let's get a little, you know, fun in the sun out of the off season, and then start to get into the hardcore competition by the time you hit that spring major as you go east. So I kind of think that, like, the first quarter of the tour is pretty good. I don't know that I want to change a whole lot in there. I think the pro tour and the national tour, you got to sprinkle your events in, but just know that you need to be ramping up that intensity to get to the spring major. There's not too much I want to change.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, I guess that would be something that I would ask you is, you know, what do you feel about the number of premier events?
So there's six national tours typically, and there's 10 pro tours. I got that right?
Yeah, and then the pro tour championship.
All right. So we have 20 events on the calendar now. If we do the four major system, that's 21 if we don't change anything
right
from the other tours. That's almost half the year when you think about weekends. I kind of think we should shave it by 10%. Two less events, go down to 18, two to three less events, That sounds right to me. I think there's slightly too many events if you consider that, like, Pro Tour is doing the Silver Series, right? So, like, we're not trying to make it where on the most prestigious stages, your, like, B and C list pros, like the middle of the pack people that are trying to break out, get their moment in the sun. If that's your goal, then yeah, we need to have more events. But I think that's like the Silver Series, and I think that's what A tiers should be in the PDGA. So I would go less events, make sure that your talent doesn't get worn out. They have more media obligations, more fan obligations, ways to make money on the road. They have to spend their off weekends and days doing that stuff. So let's make sure we're always getting gold. A plus, not B plus, out of our players.
Yeah, and, like, and I want to care about the events too. Sometimes I feel like in the summertime, there's a couple, one or two events I'm just like, I just don't care. Or, you know, the scheduling decisions that we've seen from the PDGA of having national tour events directly following Worlds. I cannot stand that. I cannot go from Worlds and then care about the next event. Like,
minimum
1 week later.
14 days. Yes. Between majors and tour events.
So I just...
On both sides.
I agree. I just did the math. Mm-hmm. There are 36 weekends that I would consider viable tour weekends. You could maybe stretch to 38. If you start February 15th and you go to October 18th, which that's typically the USDGC weekend, or maybe even a little bit earlier, but... maybe that's the Disc Golf Pro Tour Championship weekend.
Yeah.
You could maybe stretch to 37, 38 weekends. So then you think about how many top tier events should fill those 36 to 38 weekends. Right now, we said 20, right? 11 Pro Tour plus 6 is 17 plus 3 majors is 20.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little more than half, depending on how you look at it. And so my feeling is you got to make room for the majors. And if you add a major, you also want to try to give it a little bit of space. As you just said, I agree with you 100%. And I also think you should give players the option in the Euro stretch to take 2 or 3 weeks to play European tournaments as warm-ups or cooldowns or vacation and not be scheduling any stateside tournaments at that time of serious importance. If you have, I mean, obviously there will still be disc golf tournaments and A tiers and things, and that's fine, but the Pro Tour and the National Tour should have nothing within, you know, you can pick the dates, but you got to give at least 3 weeks, maybe a whole month, for the Euro setup, which I think does a couple of things. It gives players a break in the middle of a grueling season if they want it. They don't have to go to Europe. It gives them a chance to get to Europe. It gives them scheduling flexibility. It gives them the option to play some other events in Europe and maybe play a couple of the Euro Tour events if they want, which I think is going to be really good for the growth of the sport in Europe, which is something that we should all be striving to help foster. And so there's a lot of reasons that I think it makes sense. You know, if you're somebody who just loves to grind, you can get over to Europe right away and you can play 3 or 4 events while you're there along with the major. If you need a break because you've been touring for 6 months, you can take a couple of weeks off and you can still go play the major. And I think that that's a really good thing. And this sort of exists now, but not 100%. Like, there's always that Disc Golf Pro Tour event. So I think it's usually Great Lakes.
Yeah,
Diglo. That just falls in that dead zone of the European time, and it feels like a less important event as a result. Just don't do that. And I think if you shave 1 or 2 events off the overall calendar, maybe up to 4, you're going to give the space to the tours that it needs, and you're going to give the space for the major. Because obviously if you add a major, you're going to need to subtract a weekend or two of some other events. I also think that, you know, the early major can afford to have events around it. You know, if you have a let's say a Pro Tour event the weekend before the PDGA Championship, I think that's okay. it's not going to be quite the same as Worlds. And it's earlier in the season when people are, you know, very fresh. They're not going to need a break. But when you have Worlds followed by a national tour event in the late season, you know, 5 days later, that is just not an acceptable structure to the season, in my opinion.
Love the European break for exactly all the reasons you mentioned. Yes, let's build a crossover time with the European tour. That's fantastic. I mean, you're going to continue to see more Europeans come over for the early season and possibly, again, bookending it at the late season stateside. And partially that's due to weather in their home countries, and partially that's due to the prestige of the events being run, especially if you put that spring major in. So let's return the favor. Let's carve out specific time. Now let's do some math on this, right? Because you said 36 to 38 weeks. Let's take the conservative number first. 36 weeks. If we agree that there needs to be no golf the weekend before and the weekend after a major, that takes 8 weeks out of that calendar for your majors.
Well, remember that USDGC is right at the end.
Okay, right,
so you could say only the week prior.
That's a good point. So that takes seven. So you're down to 29 weeks for your remaining 17. So there will be back-to-back weekends still, right? You'd have to have double the number. So at some point, there's still going to be back-to-back weekends. And I was thinking 5 to 6 weeks for Europe. You said a month. I was right there with you. I think 5 to 6, like if European Open is the pinnacle of the European swing and it's on the sixth weekend, then you have time to play two events, do a vacation for a week, or do clinics over there. I know a lot of pros are able to interact with European fans, so you build that space. You know, that takes you to 23 weeks. So I'm still kind of honing in on this 17, 18 national tour plus pro tour number, because you really have just a little more than 20 weeks to try to schedule it if you want to do proper spacing, hey, which I agree with you. It's important.
If you want to get wild, the Disc Golf Pro Tour could have a European event.
That's true.
Why not?
Why not?
So they could, I mean, they could even keep, you could maybe get to the point where they're not even cutting events. They're just moving one of their US events to Europe. Because then you can carve out that time in the calendar for that European swing and have some kind of basically an expectation that players are going to be over there. And remember that last year, there were like a lot of top pros that played the Estonian Open, which I think was it right before or right after European?
I want to say before, because I think European Open again was like D-Glo was next, and then people wanted to get back for Idlewild. I could look it up, but I think it was before.
So either way, I mean, there's various ways to structure it. But I think if you give that space, and then if you want to have a pro tour event over there, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so let me ask you this, because you live on the East Coast, right?
I do.
And I'm out on the West Coast. So to me, the West Coast swing, I like it. I have very positive feelings towards it. Just the general concept and the way it's kind of been branded as its own stretch. Is it as important to people on the East Coast, or are they like, hey, people are coming back to our neck of the woods for these tournaments, these are more important? Like, I'm trying to take my location bias out.
I mean, I think it's still event-based. You know, Beaver State Fling still feels like a very important event, more so than many of the events that happen around me. Like, you know, Delaware Disc Golf Challenge, I know it's like a tough course, but the event doesn't get me as excited as some of those West Coast events, Masters Cup.
So it's legit, like the West Coast. Yeah, feels
yeah,
legit.
You know, I think it's okay. A legit thing. I mean, I like that time of the year.
Great,
I love
time
seeing
of
those courses. But you know, at the same token, like Maple Hill, out east, the Smugs courses at Green Mountain. I mean, I want to see great courses. I don't necessarily care about other elements. You know, I don't think we need to call it a New England swing anytime soon. Like, the West Coast swing is like an established part of disc golf for a long time. And I think that that's a really good piece of the tour that we wouldn't want to get rid of.
Agreed. And I think you're right too. Like when I think about the East Coast tournaments, I think about those kind of the two you mentioned, honestly. They're the biggest ones are Maple Hill and then GMC in that order, frankly. Probably Ledgestone third. As far as like, you know, those are the events you look forward to in that corner of the country, kind of the way you're saying,
right.
Beaver State. I feel like there's a lot of, I guess I just feel like the Midwest has so much disc golf generally, but I don't know, like we really got to find that tent pole event for that region. And maybe some people would say that's Ledgestone. I don't know. I'm not a Midwesterner, so I don't know the hard borders of the Midwest.
I literally always get this wrong.
You know, and maybe it's changed over the years too, and that's why I don't know. But like,
to me, if it's west of Pennsylvania and it's east of New Mexico, which is where I grew up, that's Midwest.
Just so you've never lived in the Midwest. That's what it's like. I know. I lived west of it. I've lived east of it. But yeah, I feel like that needs a little more highlight in this fantasy season. I feel like it kind of gets jumbled. It's like the eastern end of the Midwest rolling into New England. It all just kind of feels jumbled right there. So I want to iron out that part of the tour because I think we're good up through the West Coast swing and through Europe. Right? We're reducing a couple events.
Yeah. We add overall. A major. We then give a summer break, which is appropriate for so many reasons. And that's, you know, people can go and spend a little time vacationing or resting, and they can go and play a couple of the Euro Tour events before the, because all of the Euro Tour events, I just looked it up for 2020, are before European Open. I know they change the name every year, so I always forget what's going on. But European Open this year starts on the July 16th. The Estonian Open is the previous weekend. And you also have the President's Cup, you know, the day prior to the European Open. Like, really, having seen how successful that event was from a spectator standpoint and from a course standpoint and a competition standpoint last year, I want to try to make the European part of the season more than just that one tournament. There, we should be striving, and I think, you know, manufacturers should be spotting this too, be like, hey, as a part of your contract, we're going to pay for your plane ticket to go play in Europe. Because you think about it, right? It feels like this big hurdle potentially in the mind. But for lower tier players who are counting on cashing at tournaments to be able to pay their bills, you want to get as many of those top players over there as possible, because think about the opportunity that's there in Europe when they are hosting tournaments that have 5,000 people showing up. I mean, whoa, they are way out in front of the United States, way out in front, and we should be fostering that and trying to encourage that, because, you know, don't just look in your backyard. Like, the growth of the game, there's so much room for growth everywhere. And clearly Europe is the number one spot outside of the US and Canada, giving, you know, incentivizing players to go over there and play multiple events in multiple countries even, is going to really help grow the game. And I think you don't want to create a lot of incentive for players to stick around the US by having pro tours and national tours happening in that time.
I agree. Silver Series excluded, or like, you know.
Yeah, yeah. A tiers,
whatever.
Minor leagues
excluded, yeah. But 100%. Europe's like your athletic friend that you're teaching to play disc golf. That, like, the friend that learns with you at the same time develops a lot of the same form issues you do and generally bad habits, and then you spend time ironing out that later. And then, like, if you get good at disc golf, and then you teach somebody new when you're already good, you have the ability to like teach them without all the form flaws. I feel like that's Europe, right? because the spectator part grew so fast. They didn't have to deal with like the hippie culture or the like stoner mentality or any of that sort of stigma that existed with disc golf in the US. So it's really cool to see. And I say that because we should be learning from them and how they're doing some things.
All right, you ready? I'm going to get specific.
Get it.
I'm going to get even more specific as I keep looking. I'm looking at the calendar. And I'm thinking about how it could work. So right now you have Beaver State Fling in late June. I think we can all agree that that's the premier tournament in Oregon. Now, following that event, then you also have Portland Open on the Disc Golf Pro Tour the following weekend in early July. Right now, that's July 3rd through 5th. I would like to see that tournament. I have nothing against the tournament. I don't like where it is in the calendar. I think that tournament's got to go off the calendar in that spot. And, you know, if you want to put it before Beaver State, fine. But you want to let that Beaver State Fling be the last tournament in, you know, on tour in the U.S. And then basically the bulk of July is Europe. Because you could have players fly over to Europe, just looking at the current calendar for this year, they could play the Sula Open July 3rd through 5th in Norway. The following weekend, they could play the Estonian Open. And the weekend after that, or the week after that, you would have President's Cup and the major at the European Open. And then you could get back over to the U.S. And you have Great Lakes at the end of July. You could even push that forward and let Idlewild at the beginning of August be the first event back in the U.S. But I think, you know, unsqueezing that European or that those two tournaments at the beginning and end of July on the Disc Golf Pro Tour right now, maybe taking one and putting it in Europe. Maybe the Sula Open is on the Pro Tour for, you know, in Europe. And then you have that little three event series where you could get multiple countries and lots of players over there to play those events, give them some time off, and then come back in August. Man, that sounds just great to me.
I'm kind of with you from a personal standpoint. I don't mean to make anybody upset when I say this, but I right now in 2020 have a hard time caring about D-Glow and Idlewild. I guess hard time caring, that's not really the right way to say it. I think one event in that spot where they have those two that really draws a lot of excitement would be a better move if we were reconstructing the season.
Right.
Is that, do you share that?
I do. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying you got to move some of these events out of that space where exactly what you're saying. I want to see the European events at that time.
And here's where I think you're going with this even further, because we've kind of put a pattern out there, even if we haven't been trying to. We're talking about segments of the season where you start with fun and you ramp up to intense. Again, Memorial needs to become the Phoenix Waste Management Open of disc golf, and we go up to the PGA Championship, the spring major. Then Jonesboro, which is, you know, that's kind of then the next section. It's a good event. It's still earning its prestige. GBO obviously has a lot of prestige, but it's also a block party. It's fun. There's 1,000 people there. There's amateurs. There's a little more of a festive environment, even though that is a very, you know, prestigious title to win. You start going back West Coast for the Swing, and you end up at Beaver State Fling, the most prestigious title on the West Coast. Hop over to Europe, do the thing up to European Open. Hop back to the Midwest. Ledgestone is your premier event on the Midwestern side. That needs to be what everything ramps up to post-European summer. And then, you know, you kind of do the same thing, even though you have great courses like GMC, like Maple Hill, all that. So you have some heavy hitters in the back of your lineup there, but it still is going to all come down to USDGC Pro Tour Championship at the end of the season. So we're kind of, you know, going in waves here. And I think that would make it a lot easier for the fans to follow as well with that kind of momentum and the way that builds.
I'll finish up by saying this. I think the logic of the tour right now is in a pretty good spot. Like,
yeah,
I'm not calling for an overhaul of everything and like, oh, actually we should start in Florida and then play the Northeast tournaments in May. No, the general logic makes a lot of sense. But I think there's a lot of room for optimization, both around having structure to the season with majors, but then also allowing for a little bit more breathing room overall by taking one or two of the events that kind of crowd the calendar in the summertime and either moving them or just taking them off tour or cycling them into tour some years and away others. And once you do that, I think you have this really nice tour that highlights the best courses and the best tournaments, and you don't feel a sense of crowding. And there's going to be, you know, some battles potentially over pro tour versus national tour and who gets to have the top events and what's the, but you know what, those are just like political details that really we shouldn't as fans have to care that much about. I think there's room for those organizations to be working together a little bit more even. And I hope that there's some thought, you know, in this time and in the off season about how to move forward. Because I know the pro tour basically kind of kicked the can for a year talking to Jeff Spring about this and just said, you know, we're going to run it back. We're going to have the same events. We're going to have more or less the same calendar. And then we're going to really think about what we want to do in 2021. Because I'm not wedded to some of these events, especially on the pro tour. You should have to earn your spot. And if there's better events out there that would fit on the, you know, on the tour, then great. Like adding a European one. Do it. So broadly, things are in pretty good spot. We can do better.
Agreed. My last thought would be exactly echoing what you just said. We're not wedded to some events. We're not wedded to some of these courses. You know? We don't have to just put the most famous course in the region up for a pro tour spot just because it's the famous course that everybody knows. You can go put a new course in that looks forward and, you know, maybe it doesn't have history, but the event can give that course prestige and gravitas to the title. So let's make sure that when we go to these different regions, that we're giving the best player experience, we're giving the best competitive experience, and we're putting them on the courses that are designed for the future and the skill set that we want to show off at that event.
Well, we just did an entire podcast. 50 minutes.
Wow. Bonus.
I might have to split this into two parts. Yeah, let us know your thoughts. Shoot us an email, upshot@ultiworld.com, or hit us up in the Slack, of course, if you're listening to this. And, I think there's lots of exciting opportunities for what the tour could become as we move forward.
Lots of optimism, even in times where it's tough to be otherwise. So I think it's fun. I want to hear what everybody else has to say. I really do. Please send in some thoughts.
Thank you so much. For Jamie, I'm Charlie, saying so long. We'll talk to you next week on the subscriber only Upshot bonus segment.
Later.